Hello, everybody. This is Clint Locklear with the rant of a free trapper. And I'm going to say free is because I am mentally free in my head. And I do everything that I can on a daily basis to be more free. And I'm going to explain something the way that I see it. Now, I'm not saying that I know all the answers, guys. I'm not. When most of the reason I do rant of a free trapper, you know, it's to try to get people to think. Now, I think differently now than I did 5 years ago. You know, the human condition is always changing to a point. You learn things, you figure things out, you realize what you thought was truth was just an agenda, all this type stuff. And wherever you're at that time, what you think the truth is at that time is what you think the truth is at that time. And you see it as the truth. And so when people talk about the truth and they go, well, that's your version of the truth. See, to me, that's a scary thing because any version of the truth is a lie. So when you're throwing agendas in, which are versions of the truth, it's a lie. Now, before we get into tonight's show, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tag and Supply. Alan is a good friend of mine, just being open about that. He's got pretty much everything you'd ever want inside of trapping, and he's also one of the bigger boys on eBay and Amazon when it comes to trapping supplies and outdoor supplies and stuff like that. So if you're an Amazon or an eBay shopper, or you just want to go to his website that you can see down in the show notes, please do. He helps pay for the extra stuff that goes along, and where it gives me a motivation to do one of these every week or almost every week. So if you enjoy these, you know, help the sponsors and help put this thing on the air. Now, what I want to talk about is I was with Chip and Tim, Meat Trapper, this weekend. And we were meat hunting, and we had a great time. And we got to talk about a lot of different things. And as normal, when me, Chip, and Tim get together, something comes up that really is thought-provoking. Because all of us are thinkers. And we're not so arrogant that we think we know everything. So there's a lot of questions, and the more questions we ask each other, the more interesting these conversations get. And the conversation this time, in between skinning and all that other type stuff, was cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, Litecoin, different stuff like that. And that really opened my eyes to something, because as most of y'all know, Tim is a computer guy. He's a coder. Not only does he love going out in the woods, almost like to keep his sanity, I mean, he's really, really sharp when it comes to stuff on the cutting edge. And I asked him how. He said, well, I'm stuck in a bunch of cubicles with a bunch of 20-year-olds that don't do anything but play on computers 24/7. So he's in the mix way more than I am. And his brain works a certain way. Now, I can tell you that mine and Chip's brain do not work that way, and it's nice for this, like, almost like little Three Musketeer thing we got going on, that we can play off of each other because we come from different backgrounds and all this type of stuff. But cryptocurrency was what we were trying to figure out. Now, Tim has got a grasp on it. I think he's going to do a show on Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. And if you're like me, you've heard of it. You know what's going up, you know, as far as price, you know, all this other type stuff. But until he explained it the way that he did, it didn't really register to me what it was. And it's very confusing, which I'm going to let him try to explain. If you look at Bitcoin like it's investment in stock market, you're looking at it wrong, because that's not what it is, nor is it intended to be. If you look at it like it's a currency, like a dollar bill, you're looking at it very wrong, and it's going to lead you down the wrong ideas about what cryptocurrency is, because it's not a dollar bill. It's freedom. Now, I have this habit that I try not to have, but, you know, I go to bed early. I work my butt off all day doing all the stuff that I have to do. Come about 8:30 or 9, I am wore out. And mine and Cindy's goal is one of us has got to make sure that both of us stay up to at least 9 o'clock. But what that means is, you know, 6-7 hours later, it's like 4 in the morning. And a lot of times I'm just wide awake. So I get up, I start the coffee, and, you know, I get so sick and tired of the news because of the agendas, even on Fox News and all the, you know, now Fox and Friends turned into more of, it's sad. I mean, they just might as well have, you know, cat picture of the day on there or something. I mean, it's like Good Morning America now. There's no real meat to anything. So I'll flip over and there is a little bit more meat on Fox Business News, but it's still a lot of, it's garbage. And it's so agenda-driven that it's hard to understand the truth because these are professional agenda sellers. And I try to what it is. But since I've been back, this is Wednesday. Monday morning, I was watching it, and everybody was talking about Bitcoin. It's about 4:30 in the morning. Now, that weekend, me and Tim and Chip were talking about cryptocurrency. And it's me and Chip are trying to really get a grasp on this. But in the morning on Fox Business News, there was something interesting that I caught. And it was fear. Now see, in between segments, I'm pretty sure they had to have a guy come out there with a bucket and a mop to mop the urine off of Fox Business News floor where all the Wall Street guys were pissing down their legs. They are scared crapless about cryptocurrency. Now, anything that big business, you know, crony capitalism type people, Wall Street is scared of, I'm going to take a second look. And that was just kind of sticking in my head. Now, I also have Netflix. And I remember there was a documentary on Bitcoin on Netflix. And I think it's just called Bitcoin. I mean, it'd be easy to find. And I watched that after I saw the Wall Street guys pissing down their leg in fear of cryptocurrency, trying to come up with every reason why you're an absolute fool if you invest in cryptocurrency. So I watched this documentary. It took a couple of mornings. And I watched it over Monday morning and Tuesday morning. And there was a lot of stuff that really stood out in that documentary. Now, documentaries are always written with an agenda too. So you've got to keep that in mind. But this was kind of like the story of Bitcoin and some of the failings of Bitcoin that has happened. Like there was a case called Silk Road with Bitcoin where somebody, the guy that was kind of running it, was giving it to somebody that was giving it to somebody, and they knew that they were spending this on drug sites in the dark web. They knew this. So they had this big, they brought this international case to New York, said so being the shadow of Wall Street, and they put this dude in prison for this because it was being used for drugs. Now, your first impression of that would be they should have. But see, there was something said in there by one of the, I think they call them cyberpunks or cypherpunks. I'm not sure which the correct term is. But they're kind of giving dialogue and stuff about that. Now, they brought up an interesting point that when you start getting away from agendas, you start seeing some pretty interesting things. Banks have ATMs that give out cash that they know dang well is going to buy crack or meth somewhere. They know it. There's a certain percentage of that is being used for drugs. That's why it's really scary if you get money confiscated because it's almost impossible to find money that does not have drug residue on it. So the banks are giving currency knowing that a big percentage of it is going to be bought for drugs. But has a bank ever been convicted of what Bitcoin was? Nope. That should get someone to think a little bit. The guy wasn't buying drugs with it, and the guy he was selling wasn't buying drugs with it, but a third party was going to be using that for in a currency. Now, banks do this every day, and they know good and well. You can ask anybody in the banking industry, yeah, our money's being used for drugs, funding terrorism, all this other stuff, but Bitcoin was because it is a lot more isolated, which I'm going to let Tim get into. There's more autonomy inside of Bitcoin than there is just with our regular banking system. Another thing that came up from this was the government wants to regulate, and this is one of Chip's concern. They wanted to regulate Bitcoin. So there's a guy, I'm going to get his name right, Ben Lowsky in New York started a panel, because he was a government employee, to regulate exchanges for cryptocurrency and Bitcoin. Now, Bitcoin was saying that it was not needed and that it was going to be hurtful, but government does what government does, and they want to stick their fingers in everything. So they come up with this wall around Bitcoin exchanges, which is how you would transfer dollar bills into Bitcoin to get it out of dollar bills. And they built this regulatory wall, and it put a lot of Bitcoin exchanges out of business, because it's what government does. They make everything super complicated. Now, the reason inside of, and they showed him saying this over and over again, this Ben guy, that he was doing this was to protect consumers, because basically consumers are just a bunch of dumb butts that don't know how to do anything without government intervention. And we have to make sure that this is not used for money laundering, which is a bank term, keep that in mind, and a government term. And we can't have it used for drugs, even though they know bank money's been used for drugs. And we can't allow it to be used for terrorism, even though we drop off $7 billion of cash in a blacked-out airplane on a tarmac in Iran to terrorists. The government did. That's a fact. That's not anything. I mean, that everybody should know that. But we have to regulate this Bitcoin to make sure what the banks are doing, Bitcoin can't do. After the regulations are in, this guy quit the government. You want to know why? Because he built himself a wall around Bitcoin, and he was going to be the doorman. And then if you wanted to understand how to get through the regulations, you had to pay his consulting fee a lot of money. Crony capitalism. That's not real capitalism. Capitalism is pretty simple. You got to have property rights, and a person has to have control over their production and the products that they produce. And you're allowed to exchange those with someone else, trading currency or something else that also has property rights and can exchange their means of production back and forth. Capitalism is really, really simple when you break it down to the very core of what it is. But see, government doesn't like capitalism. We say, the government all the time says, free markets and this, that, and the other. They hate free markets. That's the reason we don't have any. So what does this all have to do with freedom? What I've noticed from just observing is Bernie Sanders was spot on with about 80% of what he said during their election. And that may come as a surprise to you. But if you could take off your Republican t-shirt and listen to what the man said, he was spot on. Trump was also spot on. When they cornered him on a debate where he gave to Democrats and Republicans, and he was honest, which was something that politicians and news organizations are not expecting, and he was honest, and he goes, yeah, so when I pay them and I need something in 2 or 3 years, they're going to be there, and they always are. He exposed what the government really is. It's a pay-for-play system. And guys, me and you are not in that system. There was a study done by Princeton where they mapped out corporate interest and individual interest. See, when people talk about their vote matters and this, that, and the other, the study shows that it doesn't. If a large corporation wants a law passed, there's a 60% chance that it will. If a big corporation does not want a law to pass, it's almost 100% chance that it won't pass. And an individual, no matter how much they vote, call their congressman, they do all this type stuff, It's almost a mathematical 0% of influence. Because our government now is controlled by large corporations. Now see, but I love capitalism. Big corporations are capitalism. No, they're not. Not by any stretch of the imagination. Not by any stretch of the imagination is GM have anything to do with a free market, nor healthcare providers anything to do with a free market. There are very few free markets of any scale in America. Now, what do I mean by scale? So everybody's on the same page. When I sell you a bottle of Lure, that's the free market. I don't have the government passing laws to keep Jeff from not being able to sell as much of his Lure so I can sell more of my Lure. And I don't have government regulations that's going to keep you from coming into the Lure market and competing with me. There's no regulations on what the price should be or shouldn't be. There's no regulations on any of this. You choose to buy Lure from me or you don't. I cannot force you to buy my Lure. So that is a very small scale where capitalism does work. If your kid has a lemonade stand and you're not in a communist state like in the Northeast, where they pretty much almost want to put kids in jail for selling lemonade in their front yard, and the kid sells lemonade to someone walking down the sidewalk, he owns the lemonade. He owns the right to sell the lemonade. They have a right of their money from their production to buy the lemonade. When they buy the lemonade, it's free market. If his neighbor puts up a lemonade stand and he's selling his lemonade for a dollar and his neighbor comes out and sells it for 50 cents and he can still make a profit, that's still capitalism. See, there's no regulation there. But when the insurance companies literally write Obamacare, which they did, which is proven, is it any wonder insurance companies are now charging more money and making more money? Now, see, they will say they're not, but when you actually look how they separate their money, when it comes to the Obamacare side of things, not the individual side, but businesses and everything else, they're making a ton more money than they did before. What they're trying to get out of is individuals. So on that side, they're losing money, but they just always seem to forget about the other side. They're making all this money. And why are they making the money? They literally wrote the law of Obamacare, handed it through a lobbyist to give it to Congress, and that's what was passed. Congress didn't even write Obamacare. The insurance companies did. Are they going to do that in their best interest, or are we the people's best interest? You know the answer to that. Now, tonight's rant is, there's hope, guys. Oh, there's hope. If you're my age, you may not actually see the results of what's going on today. See, the Tea Party in Bernie Sanders supporters, once they take the actual social, religious type things out and you take away the socialism part of Bernie Sanders, the Tea Party and Bernie Sanders are pretty freaking close. Do you remember the big protest in New York that spread all over the country where all the teenagers and college kids were sitting around saying everybody was one, you know, get rid of the 1% after the 2008 stock market crash? Those guys, when you actually listen to what they say, and Tea Partiers are almost identical. They strip away the agendas and the crazies they put on there, but pretty much identical. Now, the main message from Tea Partiers is, we want to have freedom. The main message from the other side is, we want to have freedom. From. And what they're really going about is crony capitalism. The one percenters, when they say that, they're absolutely right. When the government passes a law that a corporation can spend as much black money as they want into a campaign because they say they're, quote, a person, it's simply to get more money into Washington, D.C. That's the reason your individual vote or what you think really doesn't matter. Not in the system that we have today. Now, everybody can feel this. Whether you're on the left or the right, it doesn't matter. As a person, you know something's not right. Because, think about it. Your parent, my parents, I'm 48. My parents, if they kind of followed a simple formula in life, they got a job with a pension, they stayed there 40 years, they did a little bit of extra investing when they're 65 with Social Security, they can retire, go to Florida, they can do whatever they want. And that worked for them. Crony capitalism was not what it is today, back in the 60s and 70s and early 80s. It was ramping up in the 70s. It's not anything like it is today. Because of crony capitalism, you pay more for your medications than anybody else in the world. You pay more for your internet service than anybody else in the world, and you get slower speeds. You pay more for your health care than anybody else. You pay more for your housing than anybody else. The only thing per capita that is really not more than anybody else is your food. But when you really look at the truth instead of the agenda, the government gives the agricultural industrial people $20 billion, that's with a B, billion dollars of subsidies to keep your food costs low. So you're really paying it. Or you're really not paying it, your grandkids are paying it. But everything we have is more expensive. And people aren't getting paid to keep up with what stuff costs. So they're struggling all the time. They're doing what their parents said to do, and they're struggling all the time. If you're a middle-aged family now, and you think you're just going to put 10% of your money in a 401k and be able to retire at 65, oh, you're going to have a harsh lesson that's going to be taught to you then. Now, your financial liar will tell you that's the plan. But you're going to have a harsh lesson. You can't save enough money in the middle class today to keep up with what stuff costs. At the way that it's increasing, you can have $2 million in your retirement fund and you're going to have to work at Walmart. Congratulations. See, people see this. They may not be able to put it into words. They may not have studied the economics of everything. They may not understand all of the parts of the clock of our system today, but they know it's wrong. And they know they're getting crushed. They know it in their gut. So when all the college kids are screaming about the 1% and the Tea Partiers are screaming about their individual liberty, it's from the same gut feeling. It's just two different. You have all these other agendas that are being thrown in there. But it's exactly the same. But see, there's hope in the world, and I want you to kind of understand why I feel the way that I do. Bitcoin, Litecoin, all these other cryptocurrencies, that is a proof that people are tired of being serfs to crony capitalism. Because I'm going to give you my quick way that I look at cryptocurrencies. I think it's awesome, guys. I'm like all in. Because even if I never make a penny or I lose some money that I put in there, it's a way for me, as Tim said it this weekend, to stick it to the man. And who's the man? The banking system that's screwing you 9 ways from Sunday. The stock market, which is screwing you 9 ways from Sunday. You might not think it today, but you just wait a few months or another year and watch what happens to the stock market and all this giddiness you have right now in your 401k, it's gonna turn into despair. Now, they're not going to go to jail for it. They're not going to have to pay you back for it. they're going to stuff their pockets with it, and they're going to start this cycle all over again. Bitcoin is a human's way of controlling their finances, where they're not outsourcing it to a bank or an investment group or Wall Street or a congressman or a senator or a finance committee. Cryptocurrency is a way that people that had this gut feeling deep inside of them, this gut feeling that I'm getting crushed by this, even if I don't understand how all the clock pieces fit together, it's not working for me. When the people started with cryptocurrencies, that was the basis. And that's awesome. Because once you transfer dollars into a cryptocurrency, because of blockchains and security and all this other type stuff, what you do with that money is pretty much untraceable. Now, to regulators, that's really scary. Because if you haven't had to go to the bank and try to get $10,000 of your money out of the bank, they'll let you know real quick it ain't your money. Try to deposit $10,000 into your... They'll let you know real quick that you're going to have some serious questions to ask if they don't take it from you. So you don't have any control over that. You don't have any control how the dollar... It loses value on a daily basis because the government just prints more money. That's the reason that the average price of a house now is probably about $260,000 or $270,000. But the money that people make has not went up that much. That's why everybody has to struggle. That's the reason you go buy a new truck and it's $45,000 for a truck. Guys, I paid $67,000 for my house and an acre of land with an outbuilding and a well 15 years ago. In a couple more years, a truck is going to cost what my house did. It's because they keep printing money. Now see, that's a problem. So the people inside that started the Bitcoin, especially, other cryptocurrencies are a little bit different. There's a certain amount of Bitcoins. I've heard 17 million and 21 million. Number's pretty irrelevant. It's a lot, but it's not really a whole lot. It can be divided indefinitely by zeros and points. So you don't have to have a whole Bitcoin to be able to buy some. You can have 1/100th of a Bitcoin. It's pretty irrelevant. But there's not going to be one more Bitcoin over that finite amount. Very different from dollars. So when that money is being taken from you through the process of printing money, and your kids are paying for it because we're borrowed from a bank, all of this system's in place to strip money from the individual. Bitcoin is a way to stop that. Or Litecoin, whatever you decide is a better deal. It's a way to stop the raiding of your own treasury and your private property from banks and corporations and the government. And the government is scared to death of it. Because, you know, like right now, we're always talking, you're hearing all the time about estate taxes. See, with Bitcoin, I don't care if they got an estate tax law. Say I had $1 million by the time I'm ready to die. And let's say, since I don't have children, I want to leave that to Chip's son, John Hiram. And it's in Bitcoin. Do you know all I've got to do is let John Hiram, Chip's son, know what the password and the account number is of my online wallet? Government would never know that he got that $1 million. They can't tax that $1 million. They can't do anything with that $1 million. Nothing. Now you're going to say, well, they're going to regulate it. Good luck. Because the moment they regulate Bitcoin, there'd be another one that comes out. This is something I don't think the government can stop. That's the reason Wall Street and bankers are peeing down their legs over it. They know that their time is limited from all the easy money from raiding every individual person in the world. They know it's over. Because the neat thing about cryptocurrency is, let's say that you someone breaks in your house and they open fire on you, so you pull your pistol out and you shoot them, which should be the right thing to do. But if you're in certain states, you're going to be in court, and you're going to have a crazy liberal attorney and probably a liberal judge, and you know, you took his life where you should have ran, and all this, that, and the other. So you go to prison for 15 years. Now the family of that guy that broke into your house to kill you, that you killed, is going to sue you for everything that you and your family have. And what's in the bank account? That's easy to do. Bitcoin, they're out of luck. So when you, if you had $1 million in Bitcoin, when you get out of jail, you know what? You still have $1 million. Ain't nothing anybody can do about it. As long as you can remember your account number and your password, that money is sitting there on thousands of computers around the world. So it's not like they have to hack into one. They got to hack into all of them. That's why the blockchain's so smart. It allows you to buy what you want to buy without people looking at what you're buying. It's freedom. It's what cash used to be. It's freedom. And people are looking at this in a way for their own freedom to be put back in their hands. Because right now it's not. Because you may think it's crazy. Like, you go, I can only imagine the anxiety of some of these guys that go to, like, the, what's that outdoor show in Pennsylvania? Harrisburg show. Let's say they have a hot product, and they're $50 a piece, and they sell 10,000 of them. And it's all cash because it's at a show and that's what people are paying in. So they're coming back with $50,000 in cash. They get stopped at a red light, the police are going to take that $50,000. You can bet your bottom dollar on that. They're going to consider it drug money. And you're going to have to prove otherwise. If you do get it back, it's going to be 5 or 6 years down the road. And you're going to spend every bit more money than that to get it back through lawyers and everything else. You have no control. None. The IRS decides to audit you, and they go, yeah, we're going to charge you whatever. And they just come in and make you sell your house. They come clean out your bank accounts and your 401ks. They can clean out everything. There's nothing you can do. With Bitcoin, nope. They're completely out of the system. See, that gives me hope for the future, because people... Or that's the reason Bitcoin is going up in a lot of different countries. And I'm sure Tim will go into this. It's because people do not trust what's around them, and they're coming up with alternatives. And that is really, really neat. Now, you're going to see this in a lot of different things in your life that you may not get a grasp on because maybe you're just not paying attention to it. Now, have you noticed how much blowback has been against GMOs, genetically modified organisms, regardless of what your thought on that is? People no longer trust because the USDA says that it's healthy. And they're forcing companies that don't want to use more expensive non-GMOs, they're forcing them to go non-GMO if they want to sell that product. People don't want to have nitrates and crazy chemical in hot dogs that their kids eat. They quit buying the ones that do. They're forcing the market with something as simple as food, where you can buy Oscar Mayer hot dogs now without nitrates and all these other fillers and chemicals that are in there that were a year ago. People are making a decision that quality of food is more important than quantity of food. That's very disruptive to the commodity system. Very. There's a lot of farmers that are opening their eyes to the point that they don't have to have all the chemicals to grow. Because you can go look at something like Gabe Brown on YouTube, where he's doing like somewhat of a commercial type farm with yields as high as everybody else, and his inputs are near nothing. Those farmers are realizing that the chemical companies control them, and they're finding ways to get around that. And I think that's very hopeful for the future. So even in food, people are realizing that quality should be more important than just quantity. People are realizing when you give your kid that bowl of whole grain sugared cereal in the morning, you might as well just be taking a bag of sugar and dumping it down their throat. Then you wonder why they can't sit still at school. For one, they shouldn't be because they're kids, and two, you just hyped them up on sugar and sent them off to go sit somewhere and be still. And parents are realizing if diabetes, which is becoming a crazy issue in America, is based off insulin, insulin's based off sugar, maybe we ought to slack up on the sugar, which is really cheap. They're making these decisions when the system doesn't want them to. That's a lot of hope. Same thing with colleges. Guys, I beat up on colleges all the time. I think they suck. Big time. I really believe that an average college student is going to have a lower IQ when he gets out of college, or she, than what went before they go in there. And the way that all of the social warrior justice type crap is being thrown into school, corporations are starting to realize that if you come out of a liberal, very liberal school, you're going to be more of a problem for them and a danger to their business. And they can train somebody to do what you were going to do anyway, that the college education is not going to be that important in the future. Colleges are overpriced for the value you've got. Just go into any Starbucks, ask them behind the counter how many got college degrees. You'll find out that they're promising something that they can't deliver as far as a better future. But they're charging you more now than they were. So in a capitalistic free market society, they're either going to have to give more value, which I don't think they're prepared to do, or they're going to have to drop their price, which they're not prepared to do. So you have alternative ways of education. It's called self-education, unschooling, homeschooling, different things like that. People are finding a way to back out of systems. They're backing out of food systems that are not healthy for them. They're backing out of educational systems, which are not educational and very expensive. They're finding ways to back out of the monetary system, which is very destructive to individuals in their own life. When you look at holistic medicine, it's exploding. And they were actually talking about this today when I was printing off orders on Fox Business News. The pharmaceutical companies are ramping up to squash all holistic medicine, because it's about their bottom line. It's not about we the people. It's about their bottom line. And they're going to get it done too. Which means individuals are going to have to start growing their own stuff if they want to use holistic medicine. You're going to see vitamin costs probably triple or quadruple over the next couple of years because of regulations from pharmaceuticals. They don't want you to be healthy. They want you to buy their drug. And I don't care what their marketing says. They don't want an individual to believe or anybody to tell them that type 2 diabetes is a problem of what you eat. It is not genetic. You're eating things that jump up your insulin all the time, but you screw your body up. They want to sell the medicine. I've said this before. Before insulin came on the market, they had a 90% cure rate of type 2 diabetes. 90%. Do you know anybody that ever gets off insulin because of type 2 diabetes? I don't. So if you have you're out in the sun and you get skin issues, do you know there's a very simple way that can probably cure a lot of that without going to a doctor and having cut chunks off of you? Do you know what in the world is very similar to what healthy skin is that you can use as a lotion to put that stuff back into your skin? Grass-fed beef tallow. I saved some from the deer down at Chips. It's almost identical to the chemical makeup of your skin. There's people that sell tallow lotions right now that's going to be illegal. But the reason the pharmaceutical companies are in such a tizzy over holistic medicine is people are realizing they don't need the pharmaceuticals once they get their body straightened out, or there's alternatives to do it. Like I've talked about before, I've had high blood pressure one time in my life, very stressful time in my life. I could feel that something was wrong. I went to the doctor. He wanted to put me on a drug. I researched the drug. Yeah, it was going to lower my blood pressure, but it's also going to take like 10 years off my life. And there were several studies to show this. So to get lower blood pressure, I'm going to have to lose 10 years of my life to be on this drug. The most common drug out there for blood pressure. Holistically, you can take hawthorn tea and hibiscus tea that's cheap. Drink that a couple times a day, and it trials out even a little bit better than the pharmaceutical drugs. Has your doctor ever told you that if you're taking high blood pressure medicine? Hell no, they're not. For one, they'd probably go to jail if they did. I took it for a month, been squared away ever since. If my blood pressure creeps up again, I can holistically take care of it. But the pharmaceutical companies want to make it where I can't buy those two things in the open market. Because people are figuring out that they don't need the destructive systems that's above them. The last thing that the government wants, because the government is now large corporations, they're one and the same, guys. It's just like the Catholic Church and the government of England back in the 1200 AD. No different. It's the same thing. If people start doing their own revenue streams, all of a sudden now, the cheap labor that corporations want to force on everybody, they can't do that. Because if you start having your own revenue streams, it's not going to make sense to you to go work somewhere you don't want to be for a little bit of money, just because that's your only option. Which it falls back to the lack of education, because people aren't taught this stuff anymore. Which falls back to everybody wants an easy pass or a way to outsource everything in their life just so they can watch more TV. But as people, what you're seeing on a worldwide scale, which it's amazing to me to watch, people know something's going wrong and they're finding ways to be free again. And the government, which is now the corporations, is getting a little perturbed that people think that they have a right for their own freedom. And you may think I'm crazy for saying something like that. Just look around you. So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to continually outsource all of your investments? Are you going to continually outsource your education to a quote expert? Are you going to take the easy pass with your own children where they go get indoctrinated just to be a low paid factory worker? Because that's what they're being trained for. Are you going to keep outsourcing your health instead of actually figuring some stuff out on your own? Are you going to keep outsourcing your own income to somebody else's dream? But there's going to be a lot of conflict over this uprising of the people. And you can, like I said, I just gave a couple examples. Most people that get out of college today are telling their kids not to go to college. How do you think that's going to fare for the universities? All of this stuff, guys, all of this stuff. People want to be free. The problem is most people can't get past the agendas to let them be free. They can't see the truth. Because there's only one truth. Either something is limiting your freedom or it is promoting your freedom. And in our country anyway, the really cool thing about being an American, at least right now, is you can promote your own freedom, but you're going to have to not outsource so much of your life. And we're such a convenience-based society that that scares people to death. Totally up to you, though. I know which route I'm taking. I can tell you that. And if you've been listening to me, you probably know which one that is. So what are you going to do? What is in the best interest for you, your family, and your children? Freedom or being a serf?